Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Kayla Daniel. We're going to be talking about her book, The Whole Soy Story. Now, I never thought I'd really be intrigued by a book on soy and soy products. But this is a fascinating book. It's certainly recommended by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock, who told me about Dr. Daniel and about her work. And really going into the background of the history of soy and soy products. And then suddenly we have so much of it now being put into our diet. And the question is it beneficial or is it potentially dangerous? Does it have an impact? Well, I'm going to let Dr. Daniel cover that because she does a magnificent job in her book. Thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, why don't you just sort of pick up and now you are a nutritionist.
I am, yes. I'm a certified clinical nutritionist, and I have a PhD in nutrition.
All right, fine. Well, let's talk a little bit about soy. How did you get interested in soy, and what should our listeners know about soy and soy products?
I became interested in soy because I started noticing that it was being very much hyped as a health food, as a miracle food that could cure everything from cancer to ingrown toenails. But what I was seeing around me was something quite different. I was seeing a whole lot of very sick, health-conscious people who were eating a lot of soy. And that aroused my curiosity, and I began the research. And it took 4 years, but I did put together the whole soy story.
And, of course, it really is a fascinating story about, most people don't even start to think, you know, this has been used in the Orient for really thousands of years it's been around. And, of course, why should people be concerned? What physiological effect do the soy and soy products have? And why is it different here in America than it is over in the Orient where they eat soy and have for thousands of years?
Well, in Asia, they've actually eaten soy for about 3,000 years. And that probably sounds like a long time, but in truth, in terms of evolution, that's a short period of time. And soy was originally valued as green manure, as a fertilizer, because of its nitrogen-fixing roots. And it was only about 3,000 years ago that they found ways to ferment soybeans to make them into a healthy, nutritious food.
And I think this is really so important. Most people never stop and think about it. Apparently, they have to, they have to get the beans, and then they have to soak them, and then they have to do all sorts of things to them. They have to cook them. But of course, the fermenting is really so. It's an important issue of the fermenting of the specific soy foods. And I never even stopped and thought of all the various types of soy foods there are out there.
The fermented products such as miso soup, tempeh, natto, those are nutritious, served in small quantities. And that's the other important point about Asians eating soy, is that they eat them in small quantities as condiments in the diet and not as staple foods.
And I think that's the difference here. What we're doing is selling it as a staple food where a lot of people are using it in place of meat. And, of course, basically, the Adventists have used this for a long time, an artificial hamburger, an artificial chicken, certainly making milk out of the products. But when we get back, we're going to talk about some of the problems that come when you eat large amounts of soy, unlike what they do in Asia where they only eat very, very small amounts, why some people here in America consume a lot of soy, and I think we're seeing the terrible results of that. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is is Dr. Kayla Daniel. And before we really get into the real problems associated with that, because right now, of course, some of our stations are not picking up our program. They'll be back in about 3 minutes. Let's talk a little bit about how they go about fermenting the products, because most people have never even stopped and thought about how these products are made that they get in their soup that, they, for instance, will have in the, you know, when you go to a Chinese restaurant, you get these little sort of very soft, long strips of soy product. But where do they come from? How do they make them? And this is a long, difficult process, isn't it?
Well, it's something that is done in every culture around the world. Every culture has some fermented foods, and some of those would be things like sauerkraut and kimchi and miso, which is what's done with soy, beet kvass. There are many different kinds of fermented foods around the world, and the fermented soybeans are the Asian contribution to that.
All right, fine. Well, how do they go about fermenting them? And sometimes this is a long, very long, detailed process, isn't it, at least in Asia?
When you're making miso paste, that should take a year or more. And basically, when you're fermenting food, you're enlisting bacteria, fungi, and other beneficial microorganisms to help break down complex proteins, starches, and fats. And that turns them into highly digestible foods that are really, really healthy for your intestines and for your health in general.
And I think this is really what I learned, that really, of course, it's the fermenting that makes the difference. But this is what they do in the Orient, and when they're talking about eating soy, a lot of their products over there are fermented, and that really changes the chemical composition and really opens up the nutrients, is what you're saying.
That makes a huge difference. That removes or mostly removes a lot of what we call the anti-nutrients, and those are what in the soybean will interfere with, say, the protein digestion or the absorption of minerals. So soybeans contain a lot of anti-nutrients, and that would include something called trypsin inhibitors, and that makes it hard to digest the soybean protein. Soybeans contain phytates. That makes it hard to absorb minerals. And there are oligosaccharides. That's what causes a lot of gas from eating soybeans. And there are others as well.
All right, fine. So basically, of course, the fermenting process. But here in the United States, so many of our soy products are just made simply by soaking the beans and then cooking them. And then, of course, but what is there in the soy products that's so dangerous? We'll be back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Dr. Daniel was simply pointing out that in the Orient, why, of course, they've been using these products, the soy products, for many years, and they ferment them, and they make all sorts of miso paste and natto paste, and they make tempeh and so many things, but they're fermented. They take a long time, and it actually breaks down the products there and releases the essential amino acids and other things so that they are very nutrient. But, of course, you know, here in America, why we use so many of the whole bean products. So why don't you pick up the story there? And, of course, are a lot of these whole bean products that we find so much of our food actually left over after they've taken the oil out of the soybeans? Are we using the whole soybeans for most of what we eat?
Well, much of the reason that soybeans have gained a reputation as a health food is it was a marketing ploy. Basically, the soybeans were originally valued here in the United States for their oil, and the oil, of course, is used for margarine and shortening and things like Wesson oil. But there was a lot of soy protein left over, and the problem is there's only so much you can feed to animals before the animals develop birth defects and have other health problems. So there was still a lot left over, and so that soy protein has been marketed heavily as a people feed. And that basically is how it came about, that there are all these soy protein products. It was a waste product. They had to do something with it. And they discovered, of course, that soy had a bad reputation with the public. It was perceived as a poverty food or a hippie food, and, you know, memories of undercooked beans in hippie communes, etc. So soy had an image problem, And marketing people got together and said, well, let's make this into a health food, an upscale food that people will pay well to get and to eat. And that's exactly what's happened.
And, of course, this is really the result of a massive marketing program and specifically appealing, for instance, to the Seventh-day Adventists and then, of course, to the vegetarians. What a source of protein, and they've been sold the idea that here's an alternative to having meat products. You know, we want to protect the cows and the chickens. All we have to do is eat soy and you're going to get your protein. And it is a protein, isn't it?
It is a protein, but it's a myth that it's a perfect protein, that it does contain all the essential amino acids, but contains all is not the same as contains all in perfect ratios and at the perfect levels. And soybeans are low in these sulfur amino acids, and that's why methionine is by law has to be added to soy infant formula, for example. So people who rely on soybeans for their protein often end up quite deficient not only in methionine but also in cysteine and taurine. Soybeans actually have a fair amount of cysteine, but the problem is it's bound up in something called the trypsin inhibitors, which in turn is what makes soybeans hard to digest. So there's a lot of complications to this story, but as a protein, we see so many vegetarians and vegans who depend on soy for their protein, they will often show up as malnourished because of this dependence.
Well, why don't you just tell us, what happened to the animals that they fed the soy product to? This was the product that was made that was left over after they squeezed the oil out of the soybeans. So what happened to the animals who were fed a large soy diet?
Well, it's all variations in terms of what we're seeing with people who are eating excessively of soybeans. And the first thing we often see will be thyroid problems, and that would show up most often as hypothyroidism or low thyroid with symptoms such as weight gain, fatigue, lethargy, malaise, etc. In terms of reproductive problems, excessive soy in the diet will cause infertility, sometimes birth defects. Soy has been implicated in the development of certain cancers, particularly breast cancer, and several foreign governments have warned about that, including the French Food Agency, the German Institute of Risk Assessment, and the Israeli Health Ministry. There are a lot of immune system problems that can develop. Quite a long list, actually.
Well, now, is there really any evidence that it's carcinogenic? Is there any evidence it's carcinogenic in animals?
There's considerable evidence about that. What we usually hear from vegetarians and vegans and fans of soy is that the animal studies are irrelevant because they're animals and we're humans. But the way I answer that is I say if certain things are showing up in dogs, cats, mice, rats, pigs, quail, and other mammals, it's the humans are mammals too. It's going to show up with us, and we in fact are seeing some of these same symptoms.
And of course, I think the one thing is that there's been a dramatic increase in cancer. At the beginning of the last century, 1900, why about 1 in 33 people got cancer. Today it's 1 in 2 men, 1 in 3 women. And of course, nobody, I'm not saying this is all soy. Many of the things that we're being given to eat in our diet, and many of the prepared foods, I believe, are largely responsible for the epidemic we're seeing. And we have a war on cancer, and they know a lot of the information is well known. But of course, the public is never allowed to know. So let's talk a little bit about, of course, the estrogenic effect. We find an awful lot of men are having sexual dysfunction today without realizing, of course, that the soy products have a large estrogen component. Or would that be an exaggeration? What is the estrogenic effect of soy, and what does it do to men? What does it do to women?
Soybeans contain phytoestrogens. Those are plant estrogens, and some of the more technical terms are isoflavones and genistein and daidzein in soybeans. And these are not human estrogens. They're not the same as human estrogens, but they're close enough so that they can fool the body, and that's the problem. And sometimes these estrogens have an estrogenic effect on men or on women, and sometimes they have an anti-estrogenic effect. So which is going to turn up in a given individual varies quite a lot. It's not completely predictable, which is why the fact that soy is being marketed as a way to prevent cancer to every man, woman, and child in this country is irresponsible. Because potentially it could have a good effect on some people, but could have a devastating effect on others. In that respect, it could have a very good use as a pharmaceutical drug, but of course that involves dosing and monitoring and, of course, prescribing it appropriately to begin with.
How about for women, you know, going through the menopause? Would the soy products give them an estrogen effect that would do away with the hot flashes, depression, other symptoms they have when going through the menopause?
We do, of course, hear many anecdotes from women indicating that soy has helped with their hot flashes, and I believe that might be possible. But the actual scientific evidence is contradictory and inconsistent at best. And there have been a number of reports. U.S. Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality indicated that the research was of poor quality and too short duration on soy and menopause. And the way I see it is, yes, it might possibly help some women with their hot flashes, but on the other hand, we have overwhelming evidence that soy can damage the thyroid. And menopausal women are at high risk for low thyroid anyway, and soy is a really bad choice in midlife for those women.
All right. Now, what about the intestinal problem? Because this is one of the big problems that you talk about, the fact that the soy does affect the digestive process. Why is that, and how much of a problem is it?
There are a number of problems. One of them is those trypsin inhibitors, which are naturally present in all soybeans. And trypsin is the enzyme we need to digest protein. So soybeans come with protein and with trypsin inhibitors, so it makes it hard for the body to digest that protein in the soybeans. So if once in a while we eat some soybeans, say we have some tofu at a potluck or something, the pancreas works overtime and the problem is solved and not a big deal. But the problem is if day after day after day we're eating soy and drinking soy milk, the pancreas will get very stressed out and there are a number of problems that have developed with people, pancreatitis and the animal studies indicate a tendency towards pancreatic cancer, which, of course, has been on the rise. So that is one of the problems. We also have some problems because soybeans contain an anti-nutrient that's called lectins, and they damage the lining of the gastrointestinal tract. And that causes another problem. Soy is also one of the top 8 allergens now, and that is widely acknowledged, so there's a problem too. So there's a number of reasons that can affect digestive health.
And because this is manifested by a lot of bloating and a lot of GI upset, cramps?
Yes, because soy does contain the oligosaccharides, which cause a lot of gas and bloating. And people who react to that, they're actually lucky because they get a very quick indication that it's not for them.
All right. Of course, the Oriental, as you pointed out, the Japanese and Chinese and others who eat soy, but they only eat a very small amount of it every day compared with the amount that the American would take in, and theirs is usually fermented and ours is not. Would that be a fair appraisal?
That's a very fair appraisal because foods like miso soup don't have that effect causing gas and bloating. It's quite easy to digest because those bacteria have been at work on it for a year or more already, so it comes to us pre-digested.
And I think that's really one thing I learned, that to make the miso, you know, which they use in the Orient, takes a year of fermenting and bacterial digestion of the proteins there and the substances in the soybeans before, of course, it's ever fed to human beings. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Daniel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Kayla Daniel. We're talking about the whole soy story. Now, apparently, they put a...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-
better off eating butter. I've gone back to eating butter rather than, of course, eating the trans fats, the omega-6 fats that you find in the vegetable oils that really are not healthy for you. Now, before we go on, let's talk a little bit about the genetic engineering, because almost two-thirds of the soy products we eat today are genetically engineered.
Yes, that's right. But I get so many people saying to me that they're eating only organic soy foods and only organic soy milk, and they believe that that must be okay, that all the problems with soybeans that I've identified are with genetically modified beans. And the truth is that the genetically modified beans are much, much worse. And if people are absolutely convinced that they want to eat soybeans, despite anything I can say, I would certainly strongly recommend that they do only buy the organic. But the problem is that the estrogens, the phytoestrogens, and most of the anti-nutrients and toxins in soybeans are naturally in the bean, whether it's organic or regular commercial or genetically modified. It's in all of those. And if soybeans are eaten in quantity and eaten in the form of modern processed foods, things like soy protein isolate, soy protein concentrate, hydrolyzed plant protein, etc., they're not only going to get all those anti-nutrients that are natural in the soybean, but they're going to get a whole lot of residues from processing that may be carcinogenic.
Now, what about the glutamate? Is the soy products produce glutamate?
What Dr. Russell Blaylock has identified is that whenever a product is hydrolyzed, whether we're talking about hydrolyzed plant protein, which is a hydrolyzed soy protein, or hydrolyzed whey protein, or hydrolyzed corn, or whatever, whenever something is hydrolyzed, there will be MSG coming out of that. So it's not just MSG that's added to soybean products, and that is often added in terms of getting good flavors. But MSG may come about as part of the processing, as an accidental residue of the processing.
And I think people have to understand that MSG is an excitotoxin. It actually destroys brain cells. And Dr. Blaylock's written a wonderful book, Excitotoxin, the Taste That Kills. And, of course, this is not only MSG, it's the aspartame products as well. But these have a devastating effect on the human body, and yet they're being utilized. You know, and the average individual doesn't understand that these are products, you know, the MSG is in so many of the things that we eat, and so many of the prepared foods, and of course they will sneak in all sorts of names. Oh, there's no MSG, we just have hydrolyzed protein. Well, that's just a fancy name for MSG, and a natural food flavoring. I mean, who could be against natural food flavoring? But that's just another name. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they're doing everything to keep you from knowing what you're eating, and much of it is harmful.
It's really interesting because so many people understand that the most processed and packaged foods that come in boxes are junk foods. But when soy is on the label, the myth of soy being a health food is so pervasive that even otherwise intelligent people are often fooled by that.
And I really think that you're really going to have to learn to look after things yourself, and you're going to have to learn how to prepare the foods yourself and not get the ready-prepared foods. Now, some of them are wonderful and tasty, but some of them are really potentially dangerous. And certainly, as Dr. Daniel was saying, you know, she deals, as a nutritionalist, she deals with a lot of people who, you know, eat a lot of things, you know, and they're not poor, they're really very, very health conscious, and yet they are ill because we are what we eat. And if you don't carefully analyze what you're eating, why, you're laying yourselves up for all sorts of problems, and of course there's so much misinformation out there because there are big bucks in that. And they've spent a phenomenal amount of money marketing these things to the unsuspecting people. Would that be a fair appraisal?
I think it is. I get so many letters from people who say they're so frustrated and they're so angry. They spend hours at supermarkets and health food stores reading labels, and they can't find anything without soy, or the next time they go to buy something that was okay last month, it suddenly got soy in it. And these people are so aggravated, and I say, look, if it's got a label, don't buy it. And, you know, make your life easier. Quit reading labels. Spend the time getting real foods, whole foods, and slow foods, preparing foods yourself, and you've got much higher nutrition.
And, of course, you point out that if you're going to eat soy, I mean, it's a long, difficult process to make this so it's really edible and the nutritional factors are released. Would that be a fair statement?
That is. I mean, we can make tofu or soy milk in our own kitchens. That's the case. We could make...
Hold that thought. We'll be right there.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is Kayla Daniel. We're talking about, of all things, soy. And I never thought I'd be doing a program on soy, but this is a fascinating book. In fact, I think we're going to carry it. It's called The Whole Soy Story. That's the things that you need to know about soy and soy products you probably have never thought of. And you probably have never thought of anything of the history of soy. You've probably never thought of how they go about making their soy products, the fermented products over there in the Orient, where it takes fairly a year to make some of these products. And certainly it takes a long time to make soy sauce the way it should be made. And we don't make it the way it should be made over here, do we?
Not very often. As far as I know, there's only one brand of a completely raw, unpasteurized, properly fermented soy sauce. Even most of the health food brands of what they call tamari or shoyu have been pasteurized. And that's just a shortcut cut method. If it's done properly, no one needs to pasteurize.
And, of course, what's wrong with pasteurizing? How does that alter the chemical makeup of the soy sauce?
Well, in the case of these, they're just done very quickly. They don't have the long-term fermenting, which would make the whole product better and safer for us. But with pasteurization, we most often think of that in terms of raw milk. And raw milk is actually something many, many people will find very, very healthy. They'll thrive on it. But some of these same people who do well on raw milk cannot tolerate supermarket milk, which has been pasteurized, which makes the protein hard to digest, and so forth.
All right, fine. Well, okay, when you know, certainly I've got some things on the email, you know, about, oh, my goodness, all this hysteria about the danger of soy. And one woman was saying her daughter was sure she was going to die because she'd been eating soy products, and she had to calm down her apprehension. And yet, of course, it's almost as if somehow the people who are pointing out that there may be dangers in soy are just trying to frighten people to death. But really, don't you really feel that what you're trying to do is keep them healthy?
Yes. It's very gratifying when I get people saying, thank you, you really helped me. You know, many people get very angry because they feel that they're being told not to eat anything. They've heard not to eat meat, not to eat dairy. Now they're hearing not to eat soy. They're feeling what's left to eat. And one of the reasons I did mention the matter of the raw milk that many people thrive on.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to bring our stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Kayla is just saying that there's a lot of material out there. People are told, you know, well, you shouldn't have butter, you should eat margarine. Well, my goodness, you shouldn't eat margarine because it's got the bad fats in it. And you shouldn't eat meat, and you should eat soy. You shouldn't eat soy because it's got all sorts of problems, the sex hormones and thyroid suppression and digestive problems and certainly reproductive problems. And so we know that all of these things are very real. The animal studies show a significant increase in the incidence of cancer, which is one reason a lot of these products are not sold to to the farmers. The farmers don't want to use them, and so they've decided to dispose of them. They're going to give them to human beings. Well, before we go on, do you want to go ahead and get your website out and tell people if you have any information you'd like to get to people? Why,
yes,
this is the time to do it.
My website is wholesoystory.com. or thewholesoystory.com, and that's based on the title of my book, The Whole Soy Story. And there's a contact link, and I do answer my email, and my direct email is wholenutritionist, that's W-H-O-L-E, nutritionist, @earthlink.net.
All right, it's an excellent book. If you're out there listening audience, you have a question you'd like to ask, we will take. Do you mind taking calls for that?
Calls are great.
All right, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, let's get on into the genetic aspect of this. And I think what Dr. Daniel was saying before was that, you know, certainly soybean products are not good for you, at least in excess. If you want to have some of the fermented soy, this is fine because this has broken down the the barriers, and you can get good nutrition and amino acids and other protein products there, and in small amounts, as eaten by the Oriental, this is wonderful. But a large, of course, soybean diet is not good for you, and the soybean milk and so many of the other things. But then, in addition, although soybeans are bad, genetically engineered soybeans are worse. And what they're doing is really systematically working to destroy the genetic makeup of so many of our foods, whether it be cotton, and of course that's cottonseed oil, and certain corn, a staple, and they're destroying the use of this, they're destroying the soybeans, canola, things of that sort. And of course, we really need for people to understand the danger of what they're doing as they're playing God, and they're introducing new genes and change, trying to improve on God. And of course, one of the reasons they do this, they want farmers to be able to spray Roundup on their products. Well, the farmer spreads Roundup on the products, and it's going to get onto the products, and it could very well get onto you. But of course, they're having to use increasing amounts of Roundup because they've created all sorts of super weeds. Anyway, why don't you pick up the story of why we should be concerned about, of course, the genetic modification of something that God had created for a specific purpose. And soybeans are wonderful because they replenish the soil, the nitrogen in the soil.
Well, the area of this discussion that I'm the most familiar with is how soybean allergies have had a 50% increase since 1998, and that was the first year in which genetically engineered beans were introduced on the world market. And we know that about that 50% increase because of the work of the York Nutritional Laboratories in England. But we also know, if we just do some research on allergies, that most experts now consider soy to be in the top 8 allergens, and some experts predict it will very soon be in the top 4. And there's a number of reasons for that. Probably the biggest is that the genetically modified beans are much more allergenic than the regular beans. And then on top of that, there's more and more soy ingredients in just about every processed, packaged, and fast food that's out there. And another factor that's very important is that more and more babies are started out on soy infant formula. And that is just a terrible choice, and many foreign governments have warned against that, but here in the United States, people think it's safe.
Well, no, certainly we know that genetically modified corn, if fed to animals, for instance, the pigs became infertile. Is there anything to suggest that the genetically modified soy products fed to human beings might be increasing the infertility?
We know that soybeans in general will contribute to infertility. There are many, many years of studies indicating that. And the fertility issues are one of the main reasons that the Israeli Health Ministry has warned against soy. And the Israelis came out very strongly, and they said that babies should not receive soy infant formula except as a last resort, that children up to age 18 should not eat soy or drink soy milk more than once a day and no more than 3 times a week. And they concluded by saying that there were risks to men, adverse effects on fertility, and they had concerns about increased breast cancer risk.
All right. Of course, one of the things, of course, that is you point out that the safety studies done by Monsanto were really pretty well rigged because they wanted to get this on the market, and that they sort of, perhaps being not entirely forthright about their animal studies, that they actually altered the way that they did this so that they were really not sound scientific studies?
That's the way it seems. And in terms of the soybeans, it looks like genetically modified beans have a substantially higher level of trypsin inhibitors, and that's what makes soy protein hard to digest, and that would also contribute to the greater allergenicity.
All right, fine. Of course, we do know, of course, that we've talked to Jeffrey Smith, that we have a 4-tape set on genetically modified food, and What they're doing is really, of course, they're destroying all of our seed crops. How are they doing that? At least all of these, because, of course, by pollination, the pollen goes from a field where it's genetically modified. It'll blow for miles, and it'll get onto other fields, and then those crops are destroyed, and the good seeds are disappearing, and they're all, of course, being replaced with the bad seeds. And, of course, I think that they know exactly what they're doing. That's why they're storing the good seeds up there somewhere, I think in Norway, up above the Arctic Circle in caves, because they know they're destroying the food basis of our society, of the world, because there are people out there who have a different worldview, and they don't see any harm, in my estimation, of altering what we eat and destroying the nutritional value of our food. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, let's go to Melissa, who's calling from Oklahoma. Once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Melissa. How are you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment?
I was wondering why. I put my son on soy formula when he was born, thinking that was going to be better for him. And then when he got done taking his formula and I put him on milk, I put him on soy milk, and it was organic soy milk. It wasn't genetically modified or anything. Well, I'd end up taking him to the dentist, and it has just messed up every tooth in his head. They said he didn't have enough protein, didn't have enough vitamin, not enough calcium. And his teeth were just horrible.
Have you heard anything like that at all, Kayla?
Yes, many, many stories like that. Basically, there isn't enough good protein in soybeans or the soy milk from which it's made. The calcium that is added to soy milk is an inferior, hard-to-absorb form of calcium. And this is one of the things I talk to a lot. You know, many women particularly will come and say, I'm drinking soy milk because I can't tolerate dairy, and I need something for my bones. And the problem is, if you're relying on that for your bones, these soybeans, besides not having enough good protein, they contain the phytates, which make it hard to digest the calcium. Then the calcium that's been added to those products is an inferior, hard-to-absorb form. Making matters worse, they add vitamin D2 instead of vitamin D3, and that's a vegetarian form of vitamin D. It's an inferior form. And it is a prescription for bad bones, among other things, and bad teeth. Yes, so we've heard a lot of those stories, and even Newsweek ran an article talking about how many pediatricians are reporting rickets and other signs of poor bone growth in U.S. children, and they were saying before they never saw that except in third world countries.
And I think that, because, you know, all the years I practice, I can never remember seeing a case of rickets. We saw them over in Africa when I was there. We saw the x-ray pictures, but rickets has been something that was almost completely removed from our society, and now it's coming back again. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why is, of course, the government investigating to find out? Well, it's the same reason that I was investigating to find out why we have an epidemic of autism or of cancer or so many of the other diseases that are wreaking havoc with our population. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Caleb Daniel, who has written a wonderful book. It's called The Whole Soy Story. And the book is really, reads like a novel. It's very easy to read, got a tremendous amount of information with it. And of course, she talks about, of course, what they're doing to our children, putting them on soy. Now, what's this about lectins, glutens for punishment? What's that all about?
Well, lectins are one of the anti-nutrients that we find in soybeans, and they can basically cause a lot of damage to the gastrointestinal tract, and that can lead to gluten intolerance and allergies and many problems associated with things like leaky gut, which we see so much these days.
All right, fine. We've got Herman calling, and let's go to Herman and see him. Herman, do you have a question? Herman, are you there? Oh, we didn't get Herman punched in there. Hello. All right, there we are. Hi, Herman.
Good evening. Thank you for this topic. It's great. I have a question. If a person needs to use protein powder to supplement their diet, such as elderly who may not be able to eat solid foods, and it's wonderful to make protein shakes, what about using rice? There are several products on the market that use rice as a base.
That would certainly be better than soy. And there are products that would use organic whey, and if that were processed at low temperatures, that would probably be a reasonably safe product. Now, my preference would be to putting together a shake that would be made with something like raw whole milk or coconut milk or egg, you know, some real food liquefied if that's needed, as opposed to working with the powder.
Okay, anything else, Herman?
Okay. No, that's it. Just to suggest, give us some solutions, because it's kind of discouraging to hear everything that you're saying.
Well, that's why you have to get the book, you see. God bless.
Right.
Thanks so much for calling, Herman.
Bye-bye.
And let's go to Bart, who's calling in from Aptos. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here in the Central Coast of California. Hi, Bart. How are you doing?
Hey, great. I just came in a little midway into the show, and she mentioned before you went into a break raw milk, I believe, and it's a go, right?
Absolutely, and those of you living in California are blessed with being able to buy it.
Yes.
And, healthy raw milk is much easier to digest than any of the supermarket pasteurized products or any of the so-called organic products, which are also ultra-pasteurized and hard to digest.
Right. Yeah, because I noticed, it just sort of dawned on me about, I had some allergies kick in from the pollens, I believe, from acacia, you know, environmental stuff. Oh, it must have been 23-24 years ago in my mid sort of 30s, and it was a mystery, and then I realized I just, you know, some allergies kicked in, like they hit my brother when he was a child, and they do hit people in different times of their life, I suppose. And so I suffered that until I started drinking this raw milk. I noticed the allergies, which usually kick in around Christmas and carry on through to April and May, and, you know, have me sneeze until I pass out sometimes, it's gone. And I think I attribute this to this raw milk and other, you know, sort of intestinal supplemental, you know, friendly bacteria. And I understand that the raw milk contains something upwards to like 20 to 23 friendly bacteria.
Yes, we hear many stories of people whose health has improved, asthma, allergies, autism. I could go down a long list.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who can get it, and it's often quite challenging to get it, it's well worth it.
Yes.
And the last caller had asked me for solutions because, you know, people don't want to just hear that soy is a problem. You know, what are the solutions?
Right.
So many people who don't do well with either supermarket or organic pasteurized milk from health food stores actually thrive on raw milk.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've suffered this advice of don't eat anything and everything causes cancer and have a wonderful day, you know. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is discouraging, but I think more of people like yourself are, you know, publishing information to guide us back to the simplicities of what God intended, I guess. And,
well, now, have there been any scientific studies, you know, going into the background of the relationship between, you know, use of soy and the thyroid problems that you're speaking, or the effect on the sexual hormones? Are there any scientific studies on this?
Yes, in terms of the thyroid, we have more than 70 years of studies indicating bad effects on the thyroid. And those effects, there are many, many different effects. But the most frequent one is probably that the soy phytoestrogens or the isoflavones interfere with the production of thyroid peroxidase, and that's the enzyme which is needed to make T3 and T4, the thyroid hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other ways it adversely affects the thyroid, too. And in many people, it results in hypothyroidism. At some, it's Hashimoto's, the autoimmune form of that. With some people, it initially stimulates the thyroid, causing hyperthyroidism. We have many stories of thyroid storms where people have been hospitalized and then the thyroid goes into low activity, you know, back and forth.
Is the iodine from seaweed and such things like dulse, is that a solution or a help?
That's a really wonderful question, because if somebody is deficient in iodine, their reactions to the soy will be worse. There's no doubt about that.
That's what I've heard. So
but there are many studies having to do with soy, the thyroid, and iodine really doesn't solve the problem.
Uh-huh.
It can help a little bit, but it doesn't solve it.
Oh, okay. Well, that to be continued. Thank you so much.
Well, I do think that an awful lot of people are really deficient on iodine. What are your thoughts on that?
We know that there's more and more iodine deficiency in this country. The levels of iodine have, in the American diet, have dropped dramatically since around 1970.
Well, we have a great four-tape set on iodine, and I think it's really we'll give people the information. We have an article on iodine, the importance of iodine in the diet, which I think is largely ignored. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program here, and what are the we've got Nick calling from Carmel. Let's go to Nick here, if we can get him passed through. And
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Coming up here, I think, later this week. So God bless and thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest has been Kayla Daniel, her book, The Whole Soy Story, and I think we're going to get it because I think that nutrition is so vitally important. Let me suggest the one book we do carry. It's called A Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by our good friend, Dr. Russell Blaylock. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And then, of course, Dr. Blaylock's written two other books we carry, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, going into the background of MSG and of course, of NutraSweet. And, of course, these products are really very, 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 very dangerous for you. You shouldn't be eating them. He has another book called Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients. We have a four-tape set called Life-Saving Secrets, my interviews with Dr. Blaylock. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on Alzheimer's disease that does have an interview with Dr. Blaylock. So if you give us a call at the 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We have a four-tape set on statin drugs. You have to understand this is one of the greatest scams of all times. We have a four-tape set, or I believe four-CD set, on the iodine. People understand that we are not getting the iodine we need in our diet. Why don't they? I thought we were getting the salt. No, they took it out of about half the salt. So about half the salt doesn't have any iodine. They took it out of the bread. They took it out of other things that we would ordinarily be eating. Why would they do that if they want us to be healthy? Or is it possible? Is it just possible there are people who are working at the highest levels of government, who might be on the employ of one or another a pharmaceutical company or agricultural company that is selling products? Or are there people out there who have a different worldview, who think there are too many people in the world, who have a population control agenda? If you haven't heard my talk on Nundare-Colic Genocide, separate talk on population control, separate talk on planned population reduction, or read my treatise. It's up on our webpage of radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And it's in called the Population Control Agenda Monograph. It's a little old, but it's still got one of the best sources of information you'll find any place out there. Go to our website and look at the Georgia Guidestones, the occult monument in Elberton, Georgia, that talks about reducing the population over 95%. Well, they simply say, maintain the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. But what they're really talking about is a drastic reduction in the world population. Why would rational people want to kill off most of the people in the world? Why would rational people want wars and the terrible suffering that goes with it? Why are we fighting in Afghanistan today? Why are we fighting there? We went there to get Osama bin Laden. That was our justification, to get Osama bin Laden. And when he escaped into Pakistan, we didn't go after him. Why? If we were going to invade Afghanistan and kill a lot of people in Afghanistan, why didn't we invade Pakistan to get Osama bin Laden? Wasn't he the reason we went to war? Or have we been lied to at every turn? Are we really fighting a no-win war in Afghanistan, where the federal government is financing the Pakistan government, that's financing the Pakistani ISI and intelligence, that's financing the Taliban that are killing our boys? Is that what happened in Vietnam, where we were financing the Russians, we're financing the North Vietnamese, we're financing the Viet Cong, we're killing our boys in South Vietnam? If you haven't read my pamphlet on the Communist Capitalist Alliance, it goes into the Vietnam War. Our four-tape set on Vietnam goes into that. How does that tie into the whole soy story? So much of what's going on today just doesn't make any sense, unless you understand there are people who have a different worldview, because they worship a different God. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. Please don't believe a word I say. Check out the facts. Ask yourself, why are we still fighting in Afghanistan? I thought we went there to get Osama bin Laden. Or did we? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I want to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, right now, of course, we have on the line Barry Samish, and we can't, of course, get to talk to Barry before we go on the air, but you tell him I will call him right after we get to done with the program to give him the schedule for the next couple of days. But this evening, we're going to be talking with Barry about the war that's going on in Gaza today. Now, certainly, everybody over there is being manipulated, and an awful lot of people are dying. Unfortunately, a lot of civilians are going to die, and some of the members of Hamas are going to die. But Hamas, it was lobbing missiles on into Israel. And Israel, of course, when they're not only their cities were being hit, but then their electric generating plant there in the southern part of Israel was under attack. At that point, of course, the Israelis attacked Gaza because it was the only way they could stop the missile attacks. The Hamas knew what was going to happen. They knew a lot of civilians were going to get killed when the Israelis attacked, but the Israelis had no option, and of course the Palestinians are simply victims of this, just exactly as the Israelis are. Who is providing the sophisticated rockets for Hamas? Who is funding Hamas? Who is funding the Israelis? Who's funding the Egyptians who are letting Hamas smuggle the weapons from across the Egyptian borders? We have an awful lot of victims over there and an awful lot of people dying. What I believe is a totally manipulated situation. But I'm going to let Barry tell you the story because he's on the front lines of this battle. His family is living over there in Israel, and he's very, very concerned that this war could expand into something terrible. Go right ahead, Barry. You pick up the story.
Well, you asked the question why Egypt turned a blind eye to the smuggling. You have to go to Egypt to understand the effect bribes have on keeping their system going. The way I've been told it is that Iran bribed Egypt to get its missiles into the Gaza Strip, which makes a lot of sense. It's called bakshish. It's a system. Well, let's just put it this way. Bribery is part of the system there. And if Egypt allowed the tunnels to be dug and the smuggling to continue and didn't stop it, there was bakshish, there was bribery involved. But let's get back to the situation. Now, just so you understand, Israel is in really a very, very tight situation, and this isn't properly understood. Basically, cities all over Israel now are simply shut down. And big cities like Beersheba and Ashdod are being hit with katyushas. And what that means, of course, is the schools are closed and the kids have to play indoors. And the sirens come on and there's terror throughout the whole city. It's a rocket war. And you're not getting a lot of the actual fear in Israel, but I spoke to people, and they said the anxiety is very, very high.
I know we just got an email from one of our friends who's living over there, who was actually in that city down the south, when the missiles started coming in, and just the horror, and the people being hit, and the ambulances, and having to hide out, and then, of course, trying to get the car out of the city as quickly as possible, not being able to get out because they're under attack. It would be a frightening thing, whether it was Israel or in America.
Well, the missiles are only 20 more miles if you get right into Tel Aviv. They're big studs now. And believing, your commentators that Hamas is saving big surprises, and that includes Tel Aviv being hit. Again, that's not the real surprise and why Israel's on tenterhooks here. Right now, the entire south of the country, from Beersheba all the way north to Gadara, the cities of Ashdod and Ashkelon and Kiryat Malachi, they're all under rocket attack right now. Now, and this is taking up a big chunk of the army, and the Air Force put a stop to it, and it's not working that well. But there are really very serious dangers that are just under the surface. And one of them is if you can hit Beersheba, you can hit Dimona. Dimona is the nuclear reactor in Israel. It's in the Negev Desert, a little south of Beersheba. If you start throwing Grad missiles at Dimona, you could cause a major problem there. I assume the worst of the radioactivity is nice and deep, but you wouldn't want to blow up the dome in that building. You'd have a nuclear cloud drifting out of that reactor. And that issue is very much on people's minds. It's also hidden. The threat is very, very real that Dimona gets hit. Now, Israel is very aware that if Hezbollah and Syria had joined in, which so far they haven't, the country would just be a madhouse. Hezbollah would bombard the entire north. If Syria came in, it would literally be the end of all the Golan settlements. I mean, they're within, every one of them are targeted from very, very close. The whole Golan enterprise would be under rocket and mortar fire. Now, what's kept them from joining in is that Israel, again, unreported here, but it's out there if you go looking, has sent tens of thousands of soldiers to the northern borders, and they're not taking the risk of Hezbollah and Syria joining in this fight. They will
hold that thought for just a moment. Right. Here. We'll be back in just a moment with our Dr. Stan, and Barry is simply pointing out that certainly the country, the southern part of the country, is in turmoil. They said the rockets certainly only have to go 20 kilometers more to be hitting Tel Aviv. That, of course, the people in Israel are concerned, deeply concerned, that Syria will come into the war and, of course, take back the Golan Heights and, of course, all the settlements there. That the northern part of Israel, although not under attack now, could be under attack from Hezbollah, which has been getting sophisticated rockets, certainly from Iran. The question is this war going to expand? And I know Barry feels very deeply about this. His family is over there. And but all Israeli citizens would be open to attack should this, these things happen. And the war certainly is not stopping. The southern part of Israel and the rockets are continuing to come in. Have they cut back at all on the rocket barrage of the southern part of Israel so far with the tanks and the military personnel moved into Gaza?
Well, they're in there, but the rockets are flying as like every other day, 30 to 50. There's been no stop in the rockets. Again, Hezbollah, a couple summers ago, kept on going for 2 months. Don't underestimate how many rockets are in that place. They're giving you figures like 2,000 and 4,000. I have a figure that would be in the tens of thousands. But again, that war is could be just one front, and that one front is causing endless problems for Israel. And there's another threat that has been so far contained, and that's Israeli Arabs really identify with Hamas. Ever since this so-called peace process began, the Israeli Arabs have felt less and less Israeli, and more Palestinian, and they're in a position to engage in very serious sabotage.
And of course, I've heard that. Of course, they're throwing rocks at the Jewish citizens. They're throwing rocks at the police. They're demonstrating. They're marching through the streets of Jerusalem. And of course, you've got in essence a fifth column dedicated to the destruction of Israel, living within Israel itself.
Well, there was an incident. It's a road, a historic road. It connects the Galilee with the coast. It's a vital road, and it passes through Arab towns. It's an area in Israel called the Triangle. It's mostly Israeli Arabs. Now, before, when was it, 6-7 years ago, I went with some left-wing reporters, and I said the next time there's a war, these Arabs are going to block this road and the Galilee will not be connected to the center of the country. And they laughed, and they said our Arabs wouldn't do that, and within 2 years they did that. But this week they had a riot where they pulled a Jewish couple out of their car and were very, very close to lynching them. You know, again, these are not West Bank Arabs, they're Israeli Arabs. And there was almost a lynch. The army came in just in time. So there's this constant threat from the Israeli Arabs. Now, there's riots in the Palestinian Authority or Judea and Samaria, but Abbas wants this war, and he hasn't sent armed troops. So Israel got off a little lucky. But if he had dedicated himself to actually fighting this thing, And all of the Palestinian Authority and all their 50,000 machine guns started sabotaging Israel and the settlements, you could have a very nasty situation.
I think, Chris, Barry is talking about the 50,000 machine guns or semi-automatic rifles that the United States and Israel gave to Abbas, gave to the one branch of the terrorists, supposedly to use against the other branch of the terrorists. And I say a terrorist is a terrorist is a terrorist. And of course, it doesn't matter if it's the Abbas terrorist or the Hamas terrorist, they're all terrorists. Why in the heaven's name would rational people be arming their enemies? Why would Israel time and time and time again release 200, 300, 400 Arab terrorists and get nothing in return to replenish the ranks of the terrorists? Because the Israeli leaders benefit from having this happen. In fact, right now, of course, the Olmert's party is going to lose. Other than right now, just before the elections, suddenly they're taking a strong stand, the first strong stand they've taken for a long time. And of course, now, of course, the people are beginning to rally behind the leaders at wartime, just as the people in America rallied behind our leaders when we went to war over there in the Middle East. War solidifies support behind the government.
You're so wrong this time. I was a little surprised. Since the attack began, Kadima, which is Olmert's party, fell by 4 seats. And there's a very different phenomenon going on in Israel. The people are not backing the government. They're furious at the government. And I've been following this in Hebrew, and I'm going to give you something that you can't read, which I can. A very powerful piece by a very, very well-respected journalist named Yoav Yitzchaki. He works for the Ma'ariv organization. That's the second biggest newspaper in Israel. Yoav Yitzchaki is the best-known investigative journalist of the Hebrew language. He did a piece. It was called 52 Questions, and I'll tell you, it's like I wrote it. I mean, it's really the switchover. Okay, I'll just note some outstanding points. Now, like everyone else this week, he quotes Rabin from 1995. His quote is, Rabin told the Knesset, only fanaticists could imagine Katyushas launched into Israel from Gaza. That's how he sold the peace agreement. that all these people that were telling him that you let go of Gaza and it's going to become rocket and missile center against Israel, he said only people with fantasies would believe such a thing. And then Yov Yitzhaki asked questions. Now, 52 questions are a lot of questions, so I only took note of a few, but it'll give the mood of the Israeli people. Question one, did the corrupt Ehud Olmert take bribes to build up Hamas? That's a darn good question. And if you're from Israel and you understand who Olmert is, of course he took bribes to build up Hamas. That's the kind of leadership we have. And he's asking that question.
In other words, basically Hamas being a terrorist organization actually created in part by Israel, or built up by it. Of course, we carry a book called The Devil's Game. Of course, says exactly the same thing, only they give part of the responsibility to the CIA and the rest of the to the Israelis to building up Hamas and creating it.
Well, Olmert will take money from anyone. Yoav Yitzchaki is stressing the corruption of the leadership that went to this war. Remember, Israelis are dying in this war. It's not like it's a painless activity the way it's shown on the news here. Israel's just having a whale of a time in Gaza. That's not what's going on. Israel is suffering miserably from this. And every parent who's got a soldier in Gaza, you think they're going to sleep tonight. They're staying up all night waiting for a phone call. I mean, people don't understand what a war is when they say that. I want to point out something. Israel has lost 5 soldiers. 3 of them came when our own tanks blew up a building where 30 Israeli soldiers had taken refuge, and all 30 were wounded and 3 are dead. One was an army doctor, another an orderly. It's not that the Hamas are killing us. This is what happened in Lebanon when I was there. A good third of the dead were our own troops killing our own troops. And I understand that this can happen in any army, but my experience in war said the Israeli army make an awful lot of deadly mistakes. But back to Yoav Yitzchaki before we forget him. The next question he asked, it could it be the honored Shimon Peres, our esteemed president, was the man responsible for arming the Palestinians? That is a question that should have been asked 15 years ago. I certainly asked it. I wasn't ashamed to ask it. Well, finally, the Israeli middle of the road is asking what responsibility Shimon Peres has for the death of Israelis. Now he gets into really right-wing Israeli thinking, and he's not right-wing, believe me. Ma'ariv itself is very centrist left, but he says of the protesters, and there are a good 400 or 500 still facing trial for protesting the Gaza giveaway. He asks, instead of putting them on trial, should the protesters be given medals of honor?
And these are the people, of course, who opposed Sharon's effort to give away Gaza, to turn it over to the Palestinians, knowing full well that when you did, it was going to be used as a base for launching rockets. And, of course, it's like so much that happens here, where they do everything they can to convince us our leaders are just bumbling idiots. Henry Paulson, Ben Bernanke, trying to manage this financial crisis, they're not bumbling idiots. They want you to believe they're bumbling idiots. Why would they want to turn Gaza over to the Palestinians to use as a base for lobbing rockets? They had to know it was going to happen, but they don't want the Israelis to know that they knew what was going to happen. And the people who oppose them, why, they're going on trial. Well, they ought to be given medals, and I agree. Go right ahead, Barry.
Now, the last question, which Israelis would...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Its own army, which is separate from NATO. So would these be NATO troops or European Union?
EU troops.
All right, fine. So go right ahead.
Just to remind you, after the Lebanon War of 2.5 years ago, Condoleezza Rice and, well, everybody met in Rome. There was a giant meeting in Rome to send European Catholic troops to Lebanon to replace Israeli troops. And that's what you've got in Lebanon, is you've got the Pope's troops there. Well, here comes Sarkozy, and he's offering up a wonderful ceasefire where the EU troops from France, Italy, Spain, and Germany will come into Gaza. Look, this is a little deep and conspiratorial, but the spreading of troops literally all Catholic, is part of a very different agenda and a very different warfare. It's the modern Crusades with very different rules. But that's Israel's endgame, and I assure you, you can thank President Peres for that intention. When Israel is forced into a ceasefire, Southern Europe is going to walk into Gaza. Now, of course, Hamas is deeply opposed to this. That goes without saying. But nonetheless, that's the end game. That's what Israel is going to demand.
And I think it's very interesting, of course, who really is in charge of the European army, different than NATO army. The European army, it's a man named Javier Solana. And if you haven't heard our discussions on Javier, probably the single most powerful man in the world today, little known to the average individual. I'd not heard that, but of course he's the man who really is running the European army. So go right ahead.
Well, look, this whole... Yeah, Solana, I don't want to do that lecture. I can do the whole business with Solana, the European Union, and the ties to the Vatican, and it's quite a story, but that's what's going on right now.
All right, fine. That's fascinating. It just helps to, of course, tie some of the dots together, so much more than just saying, you know, they're going to have European troops, no, European Union troops, and of course, obviously a lot. In fact, it was actually during the Lebanon War, you know, about 2 years ago, when Javier Solana went, of course, to Israel and told them to end the war tomorrow, and they did. They do exactly what Avi Salat had said, you know, far more significant than Condoleezza Rice and the others who get a big publicity. But Avi Salat is the man pulling the strings behind the scenes on both sides. So pick up the story there, Barry.
Well, you know, I have to deal with the media, or the what you might call conspiratorial media, who put up with me. Until the war broke, of course, and then they just became vicious. They were trying to hide really deep anti-Semitism, and it's no fooling around. The words they've been spewing against Israel, and these are people, well, the famous one is David Icke, but all of them have Jim Mars. I mean, all of them have been just spewing this horrible hatred of Israel, which really, really is, I mean, they've got no personal love of Hamas. I mean, that's ridiculous. They have a lot of hatred for Jews. And there's a difference. They'll tell you that, you know what, the one I like is, and I've heard this a million times, they've answered me, I like the Jews, but I hate Israel. I mean, that's like saying, I like France, but I hate the French. It's the world's dumbest thing to say, but that's what they say. And, you know, the media has kept quiet for 3 years while Strzok was taking thousands of rocket hits. Now, what they've been saying is that only 10 Jews died of a Qassam rocket hit in 7 years, and Qassams don't really kill. Well, Hamas was certainly trying to get them to kill. It's not like they were sent over like a firecracker just for the fun of it. They were trying to kill, and some remarkable miracle has saved many, many Jews, and there have been relatively few victims, but it doesn't mean that Hamas wasn't trying to kill thousands of Jews.
Hold that thought, Jerry. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Barry Shammy. So, Barry, you picked the story up there. You're just saying that Israel has been under rocket attack for quite some time now. Large numbers of missiles have been coming in, and suddenly it's almost miraculous that more people were not killed by all the missiles coming in. But nobody seemed to be concerned when Israel was under rocket attack by Hamas. It's simply when Israel retaliates that suddenly Israel isn't the bad guy. I can imagine what would happen if they were lobbing missiles into Los Angeles. Nobody was getting killed, or only 8 people were killed in Los Angeles. But how long would it take before we would retaliate against Mexico? And the answer would be, we wouldn't put up with it at all. And yet, of course, it's amazing, I agree with you, it's amazing how the media has created our reality, shapes our views and our tastes. And by neglecting to say that Israel has been under attack by Hamas for a year or more, why, of course, it never happened. Go right ahead.
Well, I'm actually talking about real haters. I mean, there are sophisticated haters who couch their words in politically corrupt dialogue and stuff. But I'm talking guys who are losing all control, and true blue anti-Semitism is coming out all over the place, and there's no really changing these people. I just send them the same email. I'm forced in a position of defending Israel, even though I know the people behind this attack in the Israeli government are just raw criminals. Nonetheless, my people are in that army, and they're not the governors of Israel, so of course I'm hoping that Israel gets out of this with as few casualties as possible. And at some point, the war is going to change, and there are going to be more casualties as fighting becomes more urban. But nonetheless, I mean, you got to look at what Hamas is doing this way. I mean, it's typical. There's an article floating around. Now, everyone I saw tonight on TV, the Egyptian border is locked, and there are just tons of Egyptian ambulances as well as supply trucks with medical supplies. They want to take the wounded out to Egyptian hospitals, and they want to bring medical supplies in. And all over the media, it looks like Egypt itself has locked the door.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shammy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Barry is talking about the increasing anti-Semitism, all the criticism of Israel for retaliating against the rocket attacks. And of course, there is growing anti-Semitism in America. I'm very well aware of this. And we try, of course, to get people to understand that nothing is as it appears to be. And certainly, basically everybody over there, I believe, are victims of this much larger movement. But be that as it may, before we go on, Barry, I want you to go ahead and tell our listeners how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can get your website, and get your material.
Well, the book you've got to get for this discussion anyways is Bye-Bye Gaza. That's my very long book. It's available on Lulu, www.lulu.com. There's a little box that says search, type in my name, Chamish. That's Chamish. And get the black and white version. It costs a lot less than the color version, and you'll get some background of what this Gaza war is all about. You'll get a lot of background about the chicanery to set up the situation we have today, which I'll talk about very shortly. My website is barrychamish.com. And I'm going to leave a phone number. I do have lots of DVDs, but one of them is called The Dirty War Against the Settlers. It's all about getting the settlers out of Gaza and getting the Palestinians to remilitarize Gaza. It's Well, here's a phone number if you want that without giving away the whole plot. 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. Okay, we're done there. Now, we're back to the closed gate of Egypt to the Gaza Strip. Now, I watched the news, and I saw the ambulances and the trucks and nothing moving, and I assumed that the Egyptians have closed the gate. And it's not true. Hamas has closed the gate. They won't allow the medical supplies from Egypt to come into the Gaza Strip. And they won't let their wounded out to go to hospital in Egypt. They want to create a humanitarian crisis. This is to their benefit that the hospitals run out of supplies in Gaza and the world howls that Israel is responsible for it. Now, remember, I mean, Israel's in a war right now. They've cut off electricity. They've cut off water. They've cut off phone. All of that is war strategy, but they haven't cut off medical or humanitarian aid. Hamas has cut off medical aid. The Egyptians are ready, and the Hamas is blocking their entrance. Now, one of the reasons, one hospital, let's put it this way. The main hospital in Gaza City, it's called Shifa Hospital, and, well, they're not getting new supplies because Israel won't hit it unless it's cleared out. But Shifa Hospital is where they say, the intelligence reports I've read have said the same thing, that the Hamas are hiding thousands of missiles in the basement and underneath the hospital, which, again, only makes sense. If you want to store missiles in the safest place in Gaza, you put them in the basement of a hospital. My intelligence reports, and I do a lot of sifting. I don't just take any report. But they say that hospital has got at least 2,000 or 3,000 more rockets in its basement. So you try and tell people that Hamas is itself creating the humanitarian problem, you're just spitting in the wind. There's nothing you can do. I've just gotten too much blind hatred, I mean real anti-Semitism, that was somewhat hidden, is coming out big time in defense of Hamas. And all I can say is what I used to say in Israel to foreign reporters who would just blast Israel and praise the Palestinians. I would say that very simply, why don't you live in Ramallah? If you like the Palestinians so much, what are you doing in Tel Aviv? Go live in Gaza. That they won't do. This is their hypocrisy. They love them from afar. And it's coming out. The hypocrisy is coming out. And, well, when I get the worst of the reports, I just send back, go, go, Israel, bombs away, and things like that, just to bug them. Because there really is no changing such minds. It can't be done.
Well, I think it's very interesting that David Icke is, you mentioned David Icke is coming out very, very strongly anti-Semitic. And, of course, he's coming from an occult point of view. Much of what he says is true, but there's enough of it that is not true. It's designed specifically to take people away from an understanding of what this is really all about.
David Icke and I had a communication when he had just done his first book, and I caught on to it a little early. I forget what it was, the Robot Revolution. I even forget what it was called. But we exchanged letters, and I said to him, listen, that book of yours has got blatant anti-Semitism in it, and it's gonna haunt you if you keep writing this stuff. I mean, he was talking about neurotic Jews and psychotic Jews and the Jews of the West Bank. militarizing the Arab populations and all of this stuff, and it really is. And I know people who have worked with Ike and know him, and they say he really is a true blue anti-Semite, the real thing. But there's a real problem when it comes to Israel. Now, what I do and other people don't do is I do criticize the government because it's led the people into this war for all kinds of reasons that have nothing to do with Hamas. This war should never have taken place. Israel should have nipped it in the bud years ago. There's all kinds of stuff that are in my books. Nonetheless, it doesn't mean that I'm going to go to the other side and suddenly be rooting for Hamas. That's what these people do. And again, it's the same question. All these reporters covering Israel who love the Palestinians, and not a one of them lives in Gaza. And they don't love them that much. Now, we have to look at the way this war is taking place right now. Now, Israel did something very obvious. They split the Gaza Strip into three sectors. Well, that's the way it used to be. I mean, this is the stupidity of evacuating from Gaza in the first place. It already was divided into three sectors, and that's where the Jewish communities were to keep an eye on Gaza and not let it explode. In the northern sector, Israeli troops retook Netzarim. Netzarim was a large-ish community. It had about 800 people in Gush Katif. In the Jewish section of Gush Katif, our foreign minister arrested and put him in internment camps, hundreds of teenage, underage Jews who were trying to protect Netzarim. And now she sends our army and endangers the lives of our army to take back the town that, as Justice Minister 3 years before, she arrested the youth of that town for trying to defend their homes. There is something very, very bad going on under the surface.
Well, of course, this is a recurrent message. If you look at things logically, nothing makes sense, so there's got to be another explanation. Why would you arrest the people who are trying to protect, their homes in Gaza, trying to prevent the government from turning it over to the Palestinians, and then turn around and go in and get a lot of Israelis killed, taking back the country that you just gave to Hamas? It doesn't make sense unless there is another explanation. I believe there is, but most people would be totally incapable to believe people could be this evil and rotten and wicked, and that's really what I believe it's all about. Go right ahead.
Well, the protesters were being very, very naughty. They were opposing government policy, and therefore they were turned into criminals, arrested, and they're still awaiting trial after 3 years. Well, she just went back into Netzarim. If they weren't removed in the first place, there would have been an army base in the Netzarim. Gaza would have been split in three, and there wouldn't have been rockets all over Israel. I mean, look, I'm going to push my book again. It's called Bye Bye Gaza. Get it at Lulu, LULU.com. There's no way that I can explain the chicanery that went behind the Gaza pullouts. It is it was the mafia at work. And now the mafia are back in the old Gush Katif fighting a war. So far, only 5 Israelis have died, but it's going to rise. And this is not going to be a happy time for anybody. But nonetheless, there they are. She threw them out 3 years ago. She came back this week. Now, there's another issue. Again, Yoav Yitzchak just outright asked, is Shimon Peres responsible for this war and every Jew who dies in it? The answer, of course, is mostly yes. Yossi Beilin is a name that He's hiding. He got himself a little spade and has burrowed a hole into the ground, and you don't see him. He doesn't go out at night, I've heard, because he's afraid of all the hatred that he'll find. Well, he's hiding. But Shimon Peres is not just not hiding. Peres is now coming out to be the hero of the war. Now, all these people in, all these school kids in, as I said, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Beersheba, Kiryat Malachi, Gadara, Yavna, all of them, half a million people's kids aren't going to school, so they're teaching by TV. And Peres opened up the new educational TV offering a class on civics. Look, this is, I guess most people won't understand the horrible irony of what I just said. There are certain people who would understand the irony of this murderer, responsible in every respect for the war and for Israel being under horrible rocket attack, is giving a lesson in civics to the children of Israel. I assume you can read into that one.
I certainly understand the irony of this whole tragedy. We have the same problem here when we find some of the most immoral people in our government talking about morality and Christianity and dedication to Christianity, which they don't believe in at all. They're just using it, you know, to further their political agenda, and you just want to yell. But we don't scream on the radio. Go right ahead.
Well, Peres, again, this war is being fought for a reason, and Hamas isn't the reason. You've got to remember, for Israelis, let's say in the last 7 years, Israel has been under constant humiliating rocket and terror attacks, with very little of its army. Well, its army was riveted in two by the Gush Katif pullouts. You've got soldiers fighting for Israel, the bravest soldiers fighting for Israel, who are appalled to be a part of this army. The division in Israel, and by the way, Yoav Yitzchak, he mentioned this, and it's about time somebody mentioned this. The Gush Katif pullout, followed by other atrocities against settlers, and anyone who opposes the government, has destroyed the army's credibility, and I don't want to tell you how I know, but believe me, I know from personal experience, there are people, young kids, who don't want to wear the army of the Israel Defense Forces anymore, who don't want to wear the uniform. This was Peres, in black and white. The damage he's done to Israeli society is unspeakable. Now, look, in a real world, what this war would do would put them all on trial. Finally get it all out in public, take all the horrible lies, illegalities, felonies, you name it, and put them all on trial. But it's not going to happen in Israel. And the real tragedy is Peres is now backing this war to press conferences, daily press conferences, and this worries me because he doesn't care if Israel wins or loses. That's not his game. What worries me is he may have been very responsible for this war to help the Vatican and the EU get their dirty little paws in the Middle East again. That's what I'm worried about very profoundly. Peres could not care less if Israel wins or loses the war. He couldn't care less how many Jews die. He could care less only about one thing, that the Europeans get into the Middle East and ultimately into Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem is filled with rioters, and it's a very dangerous city right now.
because we're not hearing about, you know, about all the violence that's going on in Israel itself. And you can't fight a war, you know, when you're having riots and certainly have this sort of thing going on in the city. What are the chances are that Lebanon or Syria are going to come into the war? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Israel's prepared for that. And again, this war was highly supported by the Arabs. And that's coming out. Omar Suleiman, the Egyptian foreign minister, backed the invasion. Mahmoud Abbas backed the invasion. The real problem, again, is Iran, Syria. Now, if they decided that this was the moment to attack Israel to defend Hamas, Israel would be swarming. There would be bees around every city swarming with missiles. But I'm not sure this is the time that they wanted to do this. That's the issue, if they're ready enough. But even under any circumstances...
Hold that thought, Barry. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
States because of threats against his life, and of course their loss is our gain, because now we get a first-hand look at Israel from the point of view of a true Israeli patriot. And of course there is a great deal going on today. There's growing anti-Semitism, and you have to understand that the Israeli people have nothing to do with the Israeli government. The leaders of the Israeli government hate Israel. There are people here at the upper echelons of our government, many of them ostensibly Jewish, who are doing everything they can to destroy Israel. contrary to everything you hear, why, oh my goodness, the Jews run the United States and they're, you know, the American foreign policy is aimed at saving Israel. American foreign policy in truth is aimed at destroying Israel. And how can you explain that? Well, let me suggest some of the material we carry. The 10-DVD set called The Final Countdown, put together by Billy Crone. There are two parts of that, part one, part two. We carry some of his other material on creation part. There are 10 DVDs, part one, part two, and then one on RFID, the method that they're going to use to identify everybody, to mark everybody. And all of these things, ladies and gentlemen, were prophesied. And you may not believe in prophecy, but I think you'll be fascinated by Billy Crone's material. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we do hope that you are, of course, going ahead and making your preparations for the very difficult times that lie ahead. If you haven't heard my talk or read my syllabus on the financial tsunami, you need to get it. Because, well, it was made, actually, 3 or 4 years ago. But it goes into the background of exactly what's happening today, and everything is following the plan. There is a master plan out there. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. If you haven't read the pamphlet we put together called The Communist-Capitalist Alliance, about how the United States, or the people who make up our invisible government, have financed communism since its inception, just as the same way we're financing the Taliban today, and we financed, of course, the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War. You need to get The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. The book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, and of course my DVD called The Best Enemies Money Could Buy. There's a book by that title and a DVD. We recommend the DVD. We want you to get the information and have it available and begin changing your attitude. Everything is being done to confuse you. They're trying. There's a real propaganda campaign out here talking about Barack Obama's communist ties. Well, let me tell you that it was not the communists who put Barack Obama in. It was the people in the Trilateral Commission. He is surrounded by people from the Trilateral Commission. In fact, he just picked the new Deputy Secretary of State. Where do you think they came from? Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations. Where does his chief economic advisors come from? I mean, we're talking about the new Secretary of the Treasury, the special advisor, Paul Volcker, certainly Larry Sumner. Well, he's not a member of the Trilateral Commission, but he's a member of the others, too. And then, of course, both Volcker and Timothy Geithner are both coming from the Trilateral Commission. They're coming from the Group of 30.